Okay, we're doing Kachim Sugya. This is shiur number 23, I believe. I posted on, I don't know if you got the thing I posted on the blog this week. It was amazing. It was Rav Schechter's introduction to Kachim. So I tried to get the notes as best as possible as we were flying through it in an hour. But that was an amazing overview. So there's a lot of topics in there. So for those who've been following along, it's a good way to review a lot of the topics we've done. And see some more Ha'aris over there. Okay, so I want to talk about some of the Kachim Sugyas in Hurias. So one of the Sugyas that comes up is the Sugya in Vav Amid Aleph, in Hurias Vav Amid Aleph. And the Gemara talks about that when this, I know I got to change the footer, that when the Gemara says that when the second Beis HaMikdash was built, the Jewish people brought 12 Korbanos Chatas. And the reason they brought it when the second Beis HaMikdash was built, this is when Ezra brings everybody back up, and they have to rebuild they bring 12 korbanos. Why? To atone for the sins of each tribe during the generation of Tzidkiyahu. There was massive eros in that time, and therefore these korbanos were brought to atone for their eros. So the Gemara raises within this a famous Kachim Sugya, and that's how could these new people bring the Kachim on behalf of those people, when there's a law that a korban chatas shemesu ba'aleha, a korban chatas whose owner dies, so it can't be offered anymore. It can't be offered. By the way, what's the svara behind that? The svara behind that, according to at least some of the Rishonim, say is because they already achieved kapara through death. So there's no point. Okay, so we have to hold that in our minds. The different reasons for this din, or there's no owner anymore, so it needs to come along with bialim. That's another reason. It'll have nafkaminas as far as this, what I'm going to raise now. So the Gemara says, how in the world do these people, do the next generation here, bring the korbanos chatas, on their behalf, if that generation is dead? It's a chatas shemesu balea. So Rav Papa in the Gemara, Shitas Rav Papa, says that since it was a sin of the tzibor, and the tzibor lo mesa, a tzibor doesn't die. Individuals die. A tzibur doesn't die. And therefore, the korban chatas could be brought even for the sin of a previous generation. You understand the difference? If it's individuals, so the individuals die, you can't bring a korban chatas anymore. But a tzibur shemesu, then it's over. Finished. I mean, sorry, the opposite. A tzibur shemesu, tzibur doesn't die. Tzibur continues. So there's a Tosfos in Temura. If you look at the bottom, Tosfos in Temura, we have to do a series of Temura best of also. Temura, Tesvav Mebeis on the bottom. And it's Tosfos quotes right at the beginning, Vehikshe Harashpa. He raises the following issue. And he quotes our Gemara in Horius, and he says the following. Whenever the Gemara discusses chatas shemesu ba'aleh, right? A chatas, his owner dies. So whenever the Gemara does that, it always is talking about a person who realized that he accidentally sinned, right? When you bring a chatas, you don't bring a chatas for a sin you did on purpose. It's for something you did by accident. So it always refers to a person who realized that he accidentally sinned, and then he set aside an animal as a korban chatas, and then he died before he was able to bring the korban. That's a typical case of chatas. Chatas shemesu baleh, right? Guy inadvertently sinned, realized he sinned, said, oh, I got to bring a chatas, and then he passes away before he's able to bring his korban. The Torah says that in such an instance, the animal's put to death. That's a chatas shemesu baleh. It's a classic case. That has nothing to do with our Gemara and Hurias. On Vavam and Aleph and Hurias, says Tosfos, that's not related. Over there, the previous generations by Tzidkiyahu were never memana a korban. They never designated a korban yet. You understand? The whole reason you kill a korban chatas shemesu ba'aleh is because the bailim who designated are not there to bring it anymore. But here, this was kapara for a past generation that had not yet separated a korban chatas. If they had not yet separated a korban chatas, then why would you even raise as a possibility the limitation of chatas shemesu baleh? It doesn't compare over here. It's not even similar. So what was the havamina? The previous generation never even designated the animal to begin with.
Why is that? It seems to be a distinction that is different. I mean, they didn't mafresh it, therefore, you know, You're saying that the reason why you have to kill it is because
what's
of
Tosfos
Machzor.
Understanding as the reason why you don't that you kill the Chatas Shemesu Balea? Because it had a special minoi by person X. If that person's no longer there, the animal is minutak, is attached to that person. And without that person, the animal is, you know, shouldn't be anymore. It can't be offered, and it can't be here anymore. But if no one ever designated the animal, so all you're doing is just kapara for someone who died already. It's like doing a mitzvah on behalf of someone who died. What should be the problem over there? Why should that be any issue? So Rabbeinu Nisanel answers the following. He quotes Tosus and says, "Va'omer Rabbeinu Nisanel." It's the fifth line in Tosus. He says, "De'i lo." Where was I? I lost my place. Fifth line. Rabbeinu Nisanel. "De'i below hifrish matzi lekarav alma yesh kapara lemeisim." So the Gemara's comparison of this case to the case of chatas shemesu balea is based on a kavachomer. And here's the kavachomer. He says, now follow carefully. If it's true that a korban could be brought for people who never set aside an animal for their sins, like these people in the times of Tzidkiyahu, they never set aside an animal for their sins, yet a korban's being brought for them, then certainly, if they had designated a korban, that korban can be offered, that korban should be offered. See, that was the Gemara's Havamina. The Havamina is that the Kavachomer should work the other way, is that if it works by someone who never set it aside and dies, surely someone who set it aside and then did die, that animal has more attachment to that person. Surely you could bring that. Based on that Kal V'chomer, the Gemara began to ask its question in reverse, saying, wait a second, how could the Tzibur bring it? It's Chatas Shemesu Baleh. See, that's why it didn't go the other way. So the Stifler raises the following problem. I didn't put it in, it's not online, the Stifler. So the Stifler says, doesn't seem right. Why not? The Gemara looks for the makor for Rav Papa. What was Rav Papa's? What did Rav Papa say? Rav Papa was the one who said that since it was a sin of the tzibur, tzibur ain't a mesa. Okay. So the Gemara over here in Hurrius Vav Min Aleph, Minolei Rav Papa. Where does he get that from? Where did Rav Papa get that tzibur ain't a mesa? Where is that from? So the Gemara initially assumed that the source is the korban that comes on Rosh Chodesh. That just as the Korban of Rosh Chodesh comes with money that was given by someone who possibly died, right? Where do you get the Korbanos, the Musafin of Rosh Chodesh? It comes from people already donated to the Beis HaMikdash. People have died in between. Some people have died. So, according to Rabbeinu Nisanel, hamburgers, according to Rabbeinu Nisanel, what's the connection between the permissibility of a Korban Sibur of Rosh Chodesh and the ability for it to work for people who have died? Right? You understand? The according to Rabbeinu Nisanel's explanation, say it again. Rabbeinu Nisanel wanted to make a Kal V'chomer. So just because the Korban Sibur of Rosh Chodesh, says the Stipler, is good and atones for those who are alive, doesn't mean that a Korban can be brought to Mechaper for people who have died. So the Kiel Siak of the Stipler leaves the question as is. He leaves the question, he doesn't have an answer. He says something's off over here. He says just because the Korban Sibur, I could bring the Rosh Chodesh Korban, even though the people have died, it doesn't mean that you could still bring a Korban for those who die in general. That's not what that means. Again, the fact that they went to Rosh Chodesh first in the Gemara is a problem. And why is he pointing out this? Specifically a problem in Rabbeinu Nisanel. Because Rabbeinu Nisanel is the one who wanted to make the connection between the Kal V'chomer working in the reverse way. So that's what the Stipler wanted to say within the answer of Rabbeinu Nisanel. He doesn't have an answer. It's not often the Stipler leaves the question just as is. This is one of the rare times. I saw it another time once. I don't remember where. But usually the Stipler is bringing a question to set up a whole Mahalach. Here he just leaves it. He leaves it as is. Okay, that's one side. Another point I wanted to make here. The Gemara quotes Rav Papa, who says even when the Tzibur does a sin, which means that Tzibur now has to bring a Korban, right? Even if the Tzibur of that generation all pass away, right? The Korban still has to be brought by the surviving generations. And Rav Papa's point is, it doesn't have a status of Chatas Shemesu Balea because it's a Tzibur. So how did Rav Papa know that it's an exception? So we said the Gemara first looks to which case? Gemara first looks to a case of Korban from Rosh Chodesh. That's where the Gemara looks first, okay? It turns to Korban of Rosh Chodesh.
More important than hamburgers is Ryan's co-host.
Oh. Looking for the ketchup. I'm helping him look for the ketchup. For the record, Einstein was not looking for the ketchup. He was looking for the Myron McComas. Okay. There you go. Fine. Settled. Now, so how did Rav Papa know that by a tzibur it's different? That there's no din of chatas shemesu balea. So the Gemara tried to look at korban Rosh Chodesh. The korban is brought each year from the collection of the shkalim given by the Jewish people at the beginning of the year, by Nisan. And even though some of the people who donate the money are no longer alive, it must be that even when a person dies, a korban can be brought from his funds when it's a public korban. So the Gemara rejects that. You know why the Gemara rejects that? What? No, no, he's just using that as a source for it, as an example of it. So the Gemara rejects that proof. And why? Because it could be possible that on a given year, none of the people who contributed money to the korban Rosh Chodesh, to the Musaf Rosh Chodesh, with the shkalim, could be that none of the people died in a given year. You could have that. You could have where everyone's older and didn't give shkalim, a lot of people, and the people who all gave just didn't die. So, but a korban for a previous generation, like by Tzidkiyahu, there you know they all died. There you know it's not the same people. Although it's not likely that that's the case, but the fact that there's a possibility that every person who donated for the korban Tzibur Shkodesh is a lie. It's a possibility. So that's why the Gemara got rid of Rosh Chodesh being the proof for Rav Papa. Rosh Chodesh cannot be the makor. So here again, another great stipler. Stipler again says like this. If a person gives money to Hekdesh for buying public korbanos, if a person gives money for Hekdesh for buying public korbanos, what difference does it make if the guy is alive or not at the time when the public korban is offered? The korban is the obligation of the Jewish people, and they are alive at the time when the korban is offered. The Gemara seems to say that the donor of the money is considered the owner of the korban, and this is the distinction this type of makes. Sorry, hair splitting. The Gemara's implication is that the one who gave the money is considered the bala korban, and not the one who causes the chiyuv to bring the korban. You understand the difference? The chiyuv to bring the korban is the tzibur. Who has the bilis over the korban? It's the donor of the money. The donor of the money is the one who has the obligation. It's the donor. Okay? It's the donor. So what's his problem, the stipler? So the stipler says, but if you look at the Gemara in Yoma, Nun Hei Amin Aleph, he says the Gemara has like this. It's got among the different collection boxes, the kupos, the different collection boxes in the Beis HaMikdash. So the Gemara asks, there should be a collection box for women who are mechuyev to bring the special bird offerings, right? For the women that have to bring the special bird offerings, there should be a special box that the women could put the money in the box, and the kohanim could use the money to purchase the bird offerings for the women who needed the korbanos. And the Gemara says you can't have such a thing. Why? Because what if a woman places the money in the box and then she dies? When the kohen buys a korban with that money, it's going to be a chatas shemesa bale, right? The point is, a woman can't go around looking for birds. It's not right. Lo lefi chvoda, to have her running around looking for a bird. So there should be a special box in the Beis HaMikdash where she puts her money and they'll buy it for her. But the problem is, she may die in between and it'll be a chatas shemesu balea. So the Gemara then says, like this in Yoma. Okay, they have a solution. The Beis Din should stipulate that any woman who puts money in the box does so on the Tanai that if she dies, her money becomes designated for another woman's korban. Okay? It's like a tanai. It's a purchasing of a chatas al tanai. So, says the stipler, you know what the implication of the diuk from that is? The diuk of that is that the owner of the korban is the person who brought the korban, not the person who gave the money for the purchase of the korban. You understand why? If it's the person who purchased the korban itself, she would have no ability to flip it onto somebody else. But if it's the chiyuv of bringing the owner of the korban is really the one who was brought for, then it's a whole different story. So you have here a stira the stipler puts out. Who's the real owner of the korban? The donor to the korban or the chiyuv to pay for the or the chiyuv to bring the korban? They're two different people. You could have someone who's paying for the korban and someone who's an obligation to bring a korban. I mean, I could pay for a korban on behalf of somebody else. No problem for that. Another person, it's not an obligation that someone has to pay for a korban. They got to bring a korban. And I could pay for the korban. So who's considered the real bailim on the korban? That's a classic shaila. It comes out from Chatas Shemesu Baleh. So to summarize so far, we learned the topic of Chatas Shemesu Baleh. Rav Papa's Shita splits and says there's no such thing by a tzibur. Okay, we said, where does he get that from? So the Gemara tried to prove from Rosh Chodesh. Over there, you could still bring even though it's not proper. With that, the Gemara rejected Rosh Chodesh, saying by Rosh Chodesh, it's possible that people are no longer, or people are still alive, while by here, they're not alive anymore. To which the Stipler raised the issue that that point seems to be indicating that it's a function of the ones who paid for the korban. But the Gemara Nyoma applies from the fact that a woman could flip on the bird thing, that the bringing of the korban, the owner of the korban is not the one who pays for it, it's the one who it's bought on behalf of. So it's irrelevant if they died or didn't die out or not.
Yeah, but that was a stipulation made especially for this case. And in the first case, the man just died.
That's excellent. I don't know why the stipler didn't go that route. It's a simple solution. It could just be that in the case of the birds, it's not that the owner of the korban is the one who the money is going to, the one who needs to bring it. It is the one who pays for it in general. But over here, it's not, because over there, a tanai was made. But the I think what the stipler is getting at is that in that Gemara, the person giving the money never made that tanai. It's the receivers who are making
exactly.
The tanai.
Exactly.
No, so if they can make the tanai, it means the owner is really the one who needs to bring it. Yeah, it's the Beis Din who's mafalik. It's the Beis Din who's stipulating. It's not the one who's giving the money that's stipulating. If it's the one who's giving the money that's stipulating, then you're right. But it's the Beis Din who's stipulating, which means the owner was not necessarily. But then you say Hefker, Beis Din, Hefker. I don't know. So the stipler went a different direction than Rav Gordetsky. So the other Yaakov, the other Kielis Yaakov. So the Kielis Yaakov says as follows. He says, you have to say there's a distinction between, and see more of this in the Kachim Shir that I emailed you this week from Rav Shechter, a difference between a Korban Yachid and a Korban Sibor. In the case of a Korban Yachid, the owner is considered the person who's mechuyev to bring the Korban. That's what the Gemara in Yoma is saying. That's an individual Korban. But by a public Korban, a Korban Sibor, there's no single person who's obligated to bring the Korban. And since no single person is obligated to bring that korban, the obligation rests on the community, and therefore the owners are the individual donors. You understand? The more tzibur dik you get, the more the power is in the hands of the individual donor, which is almost counterintuitive, but it makes sense once you break it down like this. So where does he prove this from? So the stipler, this is beautiful. Stipler quotes a Gemara in Menachos. I put it there in the packet. 86b. So there the Gemara Menachos talks about the Isser of shechting a Korban Pesach after midday while one still owns the Chametz, or while the person doing the Zrika Saddam owns Chametz, or while any of the owners of that specific Korban Pesach own any Chametz. And the Gemara says that's also true for the Din for other Korbanos and Erev Pesach as well, like the Korban Tamid. So if you look at Tosus there, yeah, thought I gave it to you. Did I give it to you there? Is it there? No. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm. All right, I'll tell you outside. Tosfos says that means that the Kohen, okay, follow this, that the Kohen who shechs the afternoon Korban Tamid or who does the Zrika can't own any chametz, because we said it'll passel the korban pesach. If anybody involved in the avoda or who owns the korban has any chametz on them, but if any other person of the Jewish people, for who the korban tamid is being offered at that time, owns chametz, the kohen doesn't violate the iser. Okay, but if somebody else has, the kohen does not violate the iser. So what's his point? If every single person, every single kol yachid, shall klal Yisrael, every member of the Jewish people is considered all an owner of the Korban Tamid. Right? If everyone's considered an owner, if that's really the point, why does the Kohen not violate when he shechs the korban and one of its owners owns chametz. You understand? There's an iser to shecht a korban Pesach or any of the korbanos while there's ownership of chametz. Okay, while there's ownership of chametz. So therefore, he has to get rid of when he's doing the korban tamid, or he's doing the korban aser of Pesach. The kohen has to make sure he doesn't have it. Okay. Now the korban tamid is a joint korban of everybody. There should be an iser for the kohen to shecht that korban while some Jew still has chametz in the world. While some Jew still has chametz, and yet Tosfos. Tosfos says that Tosfos doesn't raise this issue. So the Stifler says, what you see from here, Tosfos understands that every single member of the Jewish nation isn't considered an owner of the Korban Sibor. Rather, you have to have a more specific relationship to the Korban in order to be called the Baal HaKorban. So the Gemara is teaching you that if one's money is used to bring the Korban Sibor, then he's called the Baal HaKorban. Right? If someone's, meaning the point is by a Chatas, since you put money to that, you're considered the Baal HaKorban. By the Korban Pesach, since you put money to that, you're considered the Baal HaKorban, and the Kohen better not have any chametz in his system. Okay? But and so too for your share in any Korban. But for a Korban Tamid, if the Kohen is bringing it and somebody else still has chametz, even though that guy's included, so what? He's not considered a Bailim. Even though he needed the Korban Tamid of Erev Pesach, that random guy, he's not considered the Bailim because he never gave money to it. He never was one of the donors yet because he still has chametz. You never would have been the donor yet. And therefore, you see this yisod, says the Stipler, that there's a split between a korban yachid and a korban sibur as to the relationship of whether they're, who's the real owner of a korban, the donor or the one who's mechoyev to bring the korban. There's a split.
Are they yachid or chiyev?
The individual who still has chametz at that time?
Yeah. Then how could you really say that it's
I think it could be that individual is missing out on the Korban Tamid, but the point is it's a Chovas HaTzibur. It's not a Chovas HaYachid. The Korban Tamid is not a Chovas HaYachid, it's a Chovas HaTzibur. That's the difference.
Conceptually, can you be a beneficiary of a carbon without?
It's like the Shiloh, can you get, the Tzvi Pesach, like Frank wanted to connect all these, the issue of, can I, what's it called, get an aliyah, you know, on a fast day, if someone's eating. Someone who's eating on a fast day, can he get an aliyah? It's a famous Shiloh by the McGivern. Is he part of that once he's not doing the same thing as the Tzibor? So that's the issue they raise, where Tzvi Pesach, Frank connects it to this issue of the Chametz. Someone who's still eating chametz, can he have any shaychus to the korbanos hatzibur that are supposed to be free of chametz? Because that's what's supposed to be at that time when it's brought. So there's a debate. How intrinsic to the ruining of the korban, as you brought up, is it? If it's really a chovas hatzibur, maybe it could be retroactively he's taken care of because he wasn't the tzibur. He just wasn't ready yet for his... or no, the other side is to say that he was totally at that time. It was as though he didn't exist because he had chametz in him at that time. It seems just... at least at a cursory level, that he is Yotze. He is Yotze at that time because of this reason. Because he's not considered the Bailam over it. It's just part of something that Tzibor all does. Okay, speaking of which, the next classic Kachim Sugya is in Hurius Daf Zion. This is an amazing Sugya. The Mishnah in Hurius Daf Zion. Here I have this in the packet.
So remind, is Horius part of Kachim?
No, it's the end of the Nezikim, but there's a lot of good Kachim Sugis. So I wanted to pull out a few of them, a few of the Kachim Sugis that come out of it, because they don't, you know, it's just a good way to get a bunch in, that I thought was a way to cover it.
Yuma has Kachim stuff in it.
Yuma
well.
Has more than half Kachim. Yeah, there's a lot in there. Horius is manageable Kachim. So the Mishnah here in Horius, Zion and Aleph, says that if the Kohen Gadol makes a mistake on his own, he makes a mistake in a psak for himself. He's giving himself a psak. And he makes a mistake and he says that an iser kares is mutter. Whatever it was, whatever the example. Sleep with a relative, he thought that was mutter. And then he does a maisa based on his own psak, right? Now, the Gemishna says also, and let's say a beistin also made a mistake. They did a shigigas hora. They gave a psak that something was mutter, on a different Isser Karis. And the Tzibor listens to the Beis Din. That's what all Horius is about. It was a Hora of the Beis Din, and the people acted on it. It was a mistaken Hora of the Beis Din. So the Kohen Gadol, says the Mishnah, still has to bring his own korban, and he doesn't get kapara with the korban that the tzibor brings. If, however, says the Mishnah, he paskins that Isser Kares X is mutter, and the Beis Din tells the people the same Isser Kares is mutter, the same one, then the Kohen Gadol doesn't need to bring his own korban. He could be, his kapara could be included in the korban that the tzibor is going to bring, the par helem dover that they're going to bring, which all of Horius is about. And the Mishnah says, because why? Mishnah continues, because the Beis Din is not mechoyev, the exact line in Horius, if you're there in Zion and Aleph, it's a classic line. And the Mishnah says, because the Beis Din is not chayev until they, it's a classic din in Hurias, until they get the people to know that something which is usser is mutter, but they don't totally make something mutter. Meaning they can't uproot an entire, they can't say Shabbos is no malacha. That's a total akira. That's not the din of Hurias. That's not par helim dover. That's not shigat. It's when you get rid of a prat, when you're saying, when you're undoing something, but you're still makayim the rest. Like you say, avodah zarah is osur, the based in paskins, but the hishtachavaya component, that part is mutter. You see, you're annulling a part and you're makayiming a part. That's when the par helim dover chiyuv kicks in. That's the classic case. So, what's the segue between them, right? The point was, the Mishnah went like this. It said, Kohen Gadol gives himself a hora and then sins based on it, on Isser Kares X, and the Beis Din gives a psak by mistake on Isser Kares Y, and the people sin based on that, so the Tzibor's got to bring a korban. That korban can't take care of the Kohen Gadol. But if it's the same Kares, which they all made a mistake on, the Par Helim Dover Shel Tzibor can take care of the Kohen Gadol. To which the Mishnah continues and says, because the Beis Din isn't chayev until they mevatel mikzas umekayem mikzas. What's that got to do with that? How's that the segue? How's it the next part? So the Mishnah seems to be giving the reason why the Kohen Gadol gets kapara through the korban of the tzibor. But how? What does one got to do with the other? So Rashi Niskaper says that the Mishnah means that since there are so many similarities between the korban of the Kohen Gadol and the korban of the tzibor, the Kohen Gadol, in his specific situation, could get kapara through the tzibor's korban. What's one of the similarities? That neither the korban nor the Beis Din has to bring a korban until their mevatel mikzas umekayem mikzas. I mean, this is the logic Rashi's pointing at. Rashi's saying the reason why the Kohen Gadol can piggyback off the Tzibor is because he has similarities to the Korban of the Tzibor. What's one of them? So you know what word you need in the Mishnah? Dahainu, that being the similarity that there is between them that allows us to make this din is the fact that they both only come when they wanted to mevatel something but mekayem the rest of it. That's the similarity which allows the Kohen Gadol to piggyback off the other one as far as... That's the same way. Otherwise, very hard to read this Mishnah. What's that next line doing there? So, Tosas Yontif asked the following question. He says, this Hesber seems very difficult. Why? Because the Gemara asks, what's the source for the din that the Kohen Gadol gets Kapara with the Tzibor in such a case? Right, what's the makor that the Kohen Gadol gets kapara with? How do they pick it back off the tzibor? So the Gemara answers by quoting a brisa, which says the source is al chatoso asher chata, that the Kohen Gadol has to bring his special korban for the sin which he sinned, meaning that which he sinned himself. His special korban is only if he did the sin himself. But if he did the same thing that the tzibor did, then he has no special korban. That's the makor. Okay? According to Rashi's explanation of the Mishnah, why does the Gemara ask for a makor that the Kohen could piggyback off the tzibor? The Kohen could piggyback off the tzibor, according to Rashi, because he has a solid dimyon in his din to that of the din of the tzibor, which the Mishnah gave you a comparison. Once there already was a halachic comparison, we already know to link the two. Why do you need a pasuk to link the two? Okay, why does the Brisa give us the reason? Why didn't he give the reason the Mishnah gave? Okay, so the Tosas Yontif, because of that, gives a totally different Hesber from Rashi on this Mishnah. He says the two lines in the Mishnah have nothing to do with each other. They're totally unrelated. When the Mishnah says she'ein beistin chayav, the beistin is in chayav at she'e vatal miktsas umakayim miktsas, that doesn't mean because beistin is in chayav, but rather it's and beistin is in chayav. The Mishnah is going on to a different law. It's not segueing. Sometimes that continuation, that vav, you know, could be because the next line. What's the exact lashon they used? Zayin Alf. Yeah, she'ein based in chayavim. He wants to read Tosus Yontif that the she'ein as ve'ein. That's how he wants to read. He says you have to read it as she'ein. And Tosus Yontif says what? Well, you're gonna attack me. She'ein is and. The prefix she'ein can also mean and. Where do we know that from? Gemar Mishnah in Beitza Beis Amen Aleph, where it says she'efer kira maklahu. There the Gemara says the she'efer kira maklahu is its own independent statement in the Mishnah. And he says that's a makor that the shin could sometimes be an and not just a you know because of or on account of or anything like that. Okay, that's what Tosfos Yontif wants to say.
Is this the meaning of the shin or is it just a change in the girsa?
It's Mishnaic language of how to use a shin. Sometimes a shin could be and you should know, like, you know, I don't know. I mean, we need if you guys know Bella from Monday night, we need her shot here. Okay, so now, Tosfos Yontif gives another teretz. So he says, since the Mishnah tells us that a Kohen Gadol doesn't have to bring his own korban if he sinned with the tzibur, it then wants to give you the next line where there's no obligation to bring a korban. So the Mishnah is then going on to, for example, a Beis Din doesn't bring a Par Helem Davar unless the mistaken ruling gets rid of a part and upholds part. It's another thing in the continuum, meaning the She'ein fits a little better now. It's the logic that was involved in that is also, there's another example of it over here. Before we find that also by. It's not giving you the makor for how a Kohen could piggyback off the tzibur. That we still need a makor for. The She'ein is just giving you a similar type of din. That's what the Tosfos Yontif wants to give as a second teretz. Rav Tzvi Hirsch Kalischer wants to uphold Rashi. He says there's got to be a way to uphold Rashi. Let's follow this again. What's the point? Rashi's pointing out that the Mishnah has a problem. The Gemara has a problem because someone has a problem. Why? Because the Mishnah is telling you what's the makor that a Kohen Gadol could piggyback off the Tzibur. The Mishnah tells you because sometimes the Beis Din is not chayiv until they mevatel some and keep some. And therefore, since that's a similarity to both Kohen Gadol and a Tzibur, you see they share dinim in common. And Rashi says, and then Rashi, that was Rashi's pshat. So the problem with that is the Gemara, though, gives him a kor for how a Kohen Gadol could piggyback off a Tzibur. Meaning that thing in the Mishnah wasn't the makor. Then what was it? So he says like this. The idea quoted by the Braisa, or the pasuk quoted by the Braisa, that's the actual source for the halacha, that a Kohen Gadol who sins with the Tzibur doesn't bring his own korban. There's no doubt that's the makor. However, once the Torah taught us that halacha, we're left with a suffix about how the Kohen Gadol is supposed to get kapara for his avera. We're left with a suffix about how the Kohen Gadol is supposed to get... How does he, though, get... Okay, I understand you could piggyback. But how does he get kapara for his sin? He can't bring his own korban now. And you don't assume that he's going to get the exact korban, the exact kapara as the tzibur does, because he's unique. He's different than a tzibur. You're telling me he could piggyback off them. But how does it work? How does it work? So the Mishnah is just telling you the logic of how it works, not the source of the din. The source is still the pasuk. The Mishnah is just telling you, though, but how does that work? What's the svara? How does that work that he's able to piggyback off the tzibur? It works because we find there are other dinim that the Kohen Gadol and the tzibur have in common. So you see there is a link that unites them enough, even though they're so very different from each other. And that gives you the example in the Mishnah. That's a beautiful pshat. That's Mekayim Rashi, Mekayim the Mishnah, and it's Mekayim the Braisa, all of it together in a neat way. Okay. One more piece. If you go to Zayin Amud Beis, Hurriyah Zayin Amud Beis. So the Mishnah says that if the Kohen Gadol makes a mistake on his own, that an Isser Karis is Mutter, and he acts based on it, and the Beis Din also does on a different Isser Karis, they just said, this was on Zayin Amud Aleph, and the Tzibur acts, the Kohen Gadol still has to bring his own Korban, and he doesn't get Kapara with them. But if it's the same Isser Karis they both made a mistake on, then he can get Kapara with the Tzibur. So how different does the Isser have to be, the Gemara asks, for him to be thrown off the piggybacking train? So the Gemara says, if he mistakenly allows Chelev, and the Beis Din allows some other type of Avodah, some type of Avodah Zarah, then certainly his Avera is different than that of the Tzibur. These two Isurim are in two separate Psukim in the Torah. Even though they're both Kares, they're in two different Isurim in the Torah. So the Gemara then asks, what is the halacha in a case where both the Kohen Gadol and the Beis Din make a mistake with regard to different types of chelev? So different types of chelev have the same korban and the same shem chelev. But different types of chelev, though, are written in different psukim. So based on that, if the Isurim could be considered one type, and the Kohen Gadol gets kabara with the Tzibur, what's the halacha in a case where the Kohen Gadol did an Avera by allowing chelev, while the Beis Din sinned by allowing the eating of dam? What about that? Is that considered parallel or not? Are they considered the same type of Isser? Why, ask the Gemara? Because their korban is the same when an individual does it. If a yachid eats chelev or a yachid eats dam by accident, the korban's the same. So do we consider that similar enough for the Kohen to piggyback off the tzibur? Is that enough of the same? Or are they considered different because they're unrelated isurim? Chelev and dam are two different things. They're two different shemos. So the Gemara doesn't answer that question. Gemara is giving you a bunch of hechatimtzas, and it stops at that one. It doesn't give you the answer. So the question is, let's say that happened. What should the Kohen Gadol do? The Kohen Gadol matered to himself chelev, and he ate chelev, and he realized what he's done. And the tzibur, the Beis Din, matered dam to the people, and they ate dam. Can he piggyback off of their korban? Right? Can he piggyback off of their korban or not? Gemara never answered it. So the Rambam in Hilchas Shkagos, I have it there in the page. Rambam Hilchas Shkagos says, Hora im Beis Din b'shkaga, v'shagagu heim b'dam, v'hu b'chelev, eino mischaper lo im atzibor, ela mevi par le'atzmo. He brings a par by himself. Okay? That's how he paskins. Everybody goes to work on what's the Rambam's makor. The Gemara never said it. What's the Rambam's makor? So if you look at the Kesef Mishnah, Kesef Mishnah is the first one I have there. Sham, it's a baya delo ifshita. It was a question that was never answered by the Gemara. Ve'eini yodea lama pasuk shemevi par le'atzmo. I don't know how the Rambam got this answer. So he says maybe the Rambam means because of the Gemara is unsure, the Kohen Gadol should bring a korban al tzafek, al tenai, you should bring it. If I need to bring a par Kohen Gadol, then this is my atonement. If it's not, then I'm good with the tzibur. Then it's just a korban nedava. Maybe some type of tanai he's being matel over there. The Mishnah Lamelech laughs at this. Mishnah Lamelech in the next source. Ayin mashikos of Maran. Maran is the kes of Mishnah. Vegam yipole. What do you mean? Achatas ain't above in a dava. Achatas can't be offered with a stipulation that's in a dava. It doesn't work. It's beginning as vachim. Achatas ain't above in a dava. It can't work like that. How could the Kesef Mishnah even suggest that as an answer to explain the Rambam? So the Lechem Mishnah goes a different route. Lechem Mishnah wants to give him a kor. He says the Rambam got his conclusion based on a Gemara in Hurrius, Gimel Amid Aleph. The Gemara there discussed the case in where the Beis Din matered a certain aspect of eating chelev, and because of it, some of the people followed the ruling and sinned. Beis Din realized its mistake over there, and then they again mistakenly permitted an aspect of chelev, and the people again followed and sinned. So do we take the two? By the way, one of the conditions for a par halam dover is that it's got to be the majority of the tzibor. So what if in their first psak you have half the amount you need? They then realize their mistake, and a year later they remake the same mistake, and now you have the other half people sinning altogether, giving you over a majority. Is that considered one chait as far as a par halam dover or not? So, do the two segments of the population combine to form majority for par halam davar, or do you say no? It's two yediyas and they don't combine. So the Gemara there says, "Im teim tzalomar." If you find a reason to say that these two Isurim of Chelev combine, then what's the halacha when these two Isurim involve two different types of Chelev? So the Gemara continues asking questions. It keeps going on these Imtim Tzalomars. It's going through them. The Gemara says, now what if the first group did an Avera of Chelev and the second group did Dam? Do they combine? And the Gemara then goes next into an Imtim Tzalomar, if you want to say they do combine because they have the same Korban. Okay, I'll give you a different case. You saw what it did? Imtim Tzalomar, Chelev and Dam would be a Tziruf because it's the same Korban. Let me ask you about a different Imtim Tzalomar right now. Move on to the next one. So the Lechem Mishnah says, from the fact that the Gemara just used the term Imtim Tzalomar, is exactly the reason why the Rambam says the Kohen Gadol brings his own Korban in such a case. Im Tim Tzalomar is saying, suspend your logic for a moment and assume. Suspend your rationale for a moment, and if you want to say da-da-da, let's try a different, I want to ask a different question. Suspend that. The halakha is following this side. Therefore, since the Gemara is saying, Im Tim Tzalomar, the Chelev and Dam are the same, it must be that that's the conclusion. But the problem with that is the Rambam rules against it. The Rambam is saying that the opposite of the Imtim Tzalomar. So you see the Karen Ora says, well, the Rambam understands the Imtim Tzalomar is not the accepted part of it. Is the part that's just asking you to hold on to that idea. I want to get to a different point over here. That's what the Imtim Tzalomar is doing. So you have a classic machlokas here. You have two literal machlokasim that we just saw today. How do you understand a sh in the Mishnah? Shekain, shesh. How do you understand that? So machlokas and I understand that. And this machlokas is, how do you understand the flow of an Imtim Tzalomar? Is the Imtim Tzalomar flow telling you that we paskin like this premise, move on to the next Imtim Tzalomar? Or it's saying suspend logic in this point and let's move on to the next point? That's a very interesting machlokas that I think we never stop and think about when we start flying through Imtim Tzalomars. Imtim Tzalomar, this and a Gemara and that. Imtim, well, oh, if I wanted to say. Oh, if do we pass him like the if I wanted to say? Or do we not pass him like the if I wanted to say? So you have Machlokas, Rambam, and others, whether or not you follow that Imtim Tzalomar. Whether or not the Imtim Tzalomar is saying it is the Psak or not. Whether you can do anything with an Imtim Tzalomar. Okay, let's stop there for tonight. Go ahead.